Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
Well, good morning, everybody. Hey. I'm so glad that you guys are here this morning. We are in week two of our Dialed In series, and I'm one of the leaders around here. If we haven't met, I hope to do so at the end of the service out on the patio. But I really enjoyed together as a church. We've been doing 21 days of prayer, and it's been a lot of fun. Actually, we have a Facebook group, and it's really just been about focusing these 21 days on our conversations with God. And it's been so helpful for me to have daily encouragement, actually daily accountability, to log into that Facebook group. And there's been these live videos. And every single day, someone different from our church staff has been doing a live video. And it has been a lot, it's been super inspirational. It's given me some amazing, like, truthful nuggets. But what else has been kind of fun about it is it's always awesome to see what color lipstick our children's pastor is going to have on, right? So if you haven't hopped on just to see what Holly Ann's lipstick color is going to be that day, you should. Or our worship pastor, Pete, who was up here earlier. Let me tell you, I've never seen hats with so much crazy color going on in their underneath on their bill. So if not for the inspirational truth from God's word, at least log on to check out some of the church staff and what they're wearing that day. But in all seriousness, I suppose as a Christ follower, as a pastor's wife, as one who helped start this church, you would think that I'm like a professional prayer. You know, that like I just really like am, I know how to take it to the heavens. But the truth is, for me, prayer has often been a struggle. I have struggled in my prayer life and in my conversations with God. There's been seasons that I have not always believed that I was heard. I did not believe that God was actually hearing the words that were coming out of my mouth. And I, probably like you, don't like when my prayers aren't answered. And so then I became stubborn and then just refused it. Well, then fine, we just won't talk. If you're not going to do what I want you to do, then we just won't talk, right? Maybe that's just me. But there's been seasons that I've disregarded it because of my busyness. I'm so busy, I don't got time. And so what I realize and what I have come to know as truth is I need prayer. I need that conversation with God because I so desperately, truly need him. And the understanding of this conversation with him called prayer has been a process for me. It's been a total journey. It's not been like a one and done. And I want to share with you this morning some of the things that I have discovered along the way about why prayer. Why does God even want to have a conversation? And why does he desire to speak to us? And how? How does God actually speak to us? So we've had this verse in John chapter 10. It's in verses 3 and 4, and I want to look at it. It's up on the screens right now. You can read it. This is in the NIV translation, but it says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." God does speak. He is the good shepherd. He has a voice. And last weekend, we learned that it's not so much that God has a speaking problem. The problem is so often our ears to hear, and that we have a listening problem. And the goal here is that we would be like sheep and to know his voice so clearly that when it's not him, we run in another direction. That's what sheep do. When the shepherd is calling, they all line up and they follow and they go. But when it's not their shepherd's voice, they actually go in the opposite direction. That's what sheep do. Stranger danger, right? Growing up as a kid, I think there was like a campaign or something in the late 80s about stranger danger. And I remember we created a word. We had like a word at our house. And so that way when I was walking the neighborhood to get to the bus stop or maybe after school, if someone showed up and said, oh, your mom sent me to come and pick you up. Any stranger that approached that was like, hey, little girl, you know, your mom said it's okay for you to come with me. I would say, what's the word? And if they didn't know the word, it was like, stranger danger, run, go the opposite direction. And so that's how we can actually be with God's voice. We can know it so clearly that we're able to put the other voices out and not listen, and we can hear from him alone. But why? Why would God so passionately want to speak to us? And knowing why is key to anything in your life being successful. Without a why, we lose our way. And so understanding the why and the heart behind God's desire for us is so vital. It's so vital to us having a vibrant prayer life. And so the first reason why that God wants to have a conversation with us is to initiate friendship. God wants to be your friend. He wants to be in relationship with you. And it is a simple conversation. It's very simple. I love talking. I do. I really love talking. Words are my jam. I love words. Invite me to coffee? Absolutely. Let's talk. Invite me over for dinner? For sure, even better, because then I can stay and talk to you until you kick me out of your house. Like, I love to talk. And in fact, we don't even have, some of you that know me are like, yes, she does. Somebody stop her. In fact, we don't even have a TV in our main living space in our home because I desired to create a culture of conversation. I wanted for our own family to have conversation, and then anyone that we invited over, I didn't want us to get so hung up on what was on TV. More words. Let's talk. And I think for some reason, when it comes to talking to God, we can get all formal. We get like, it has to be at a certain time of day. It must be 5 a.m. before the sun is up. And then that's clearly not sustainable, so then we stop talking, right? We feel like we have to talk in a certain tone. It must, I think, he might speak in an English accent, I don't know, but it has to be a very certain tone. It's really serious. Sometimes it's so structured, like, well, I have to have my Bible, and I have to have this list, and I have to have, like, all of these, so structured, so serious. And if that's how you're wired, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, and sometimes it is very structured, and you want to take your lists and your journal and all of these things before God, and sometimes it is really serious. There's stuff going on in your life that's dead serious, and that's okay. But sometimes it's as simple as going on a hike like you would with any companion and just chatting. No list, no formal requests, just conversation with the intent for friendship. That's what God would love to have with each of us, conversation for friendship. He wants to speak to you like any good friend does. He really does. Exodus 33:11 says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Moses was a great man of faith in the Bible, and the Lord called him his friend. And we have that exact same access to God, and he has that exact same desire for our life, to be our friend. And so the other reason, so he wants to, why? To initiate friendship. Another reason why is to offer guidance. Again, this is the why behind God talking to you and me. He sees a picture that we do not always. We look at situations in the natural. That's what we can see. And while God looks at things in the supernatural, because that's who he is. He is the ruler and the Lord of the supernatural. And so he has an ability to see way beyond what we can see. And so you may not always agree with his guidance. That doesn't mean that he doesn't have your best interest at heart, and it also doesn't mean that it's not right. There's many times that I am like headlong in a direction because I have this plan, and I think that's gonna be amazing, and I'm gonna go make it happen, and here we go, and then God goes, no, turn right. I'm like, no, I like left. And he says, no, but right, go right. Because he wants to offer you guidance with eyes that see what you do not eyes. He wants to put some super on your natural. So trust him in that. And I know that it's not fun. And I know that it seems like he's just throwing a wrench in your plan. But the reality is he wants to see you through to a future that is better for you. Trust him in the situation. We cannot control our future, but God is already there. So listening for his guidance would be very helpful. And that's why he's speaking to us, because he wants that great future for you and I. This past week, I woke up about 4:30 in the morning, one morning, worrying about my oldest daughter. And she has some needs that I am struggling to find solutions to. And as I laid in bed, stewing in my mind, I decided this is not getting me anywhere. It's just like magnifying. It's getting worse. The clock is ticking slower. I have no solution still. This is no good. So I decided to get up and go to my sofa in the main living room. That this tends to kind of be my spot that I go talk to God. Now, like I said, sometimes it's going and taking a hike, but it's also good sometimes to have a spot because it's almost like, oh, God met me there before. I'm going to go back there because he might meet me there again, right? So having a spot is also a good idea. So the sofa is kind of my spot. And as I sat there before anyone was up, including the sun, I said out loud to him with my eyes closed and my head tilted to heaven, and I said, God, I need someone who knows more than me and cares about Addie to show me what to do. Please send me someone that knows more than me, that also cares about her, so I know what to do. And the gentle response that I heard in that moment was, I do. I do. And tears fell down my face, and I received that immediately. It's like, okay, so what? And then all of a sudden, it occurred to me of an organization to contact with some questions on Facebook. And I knew that was God. And it doesn't always happen that fast. And it always doesn't always happen like that. But it will happen. Because that's why God wants you to talk to him. Because he wants to give you guidance. That's why. He also does this because he wants to elevate your perspective. Not everything that you see is like really what's going on. Isn't that true of your relationships? Like, think about it. As parents, we often make decisions and we say yes or no to our kids based on something that we see that they don't. There's like more under the surface, right? Because they can only see so much at 11 years old or even at 16 years old, even though they think they know all, we have a perspective further down the road than them. We see what they do not. We get it. There's more going on than what their eyes can tell, and they need to kind of trust us. Have faith, right? Have faith in your mother. I know. I don't know why I know. I just know. Have faith. That's how God is with us. There is a realm beyond the surface and your natural life and what your perspective is day in and day out. But remember, he's supernatural. And the scriptures tell us to walk by faith, not by sight. So what is faith? Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. So you're not going to see it. You're not going to see it. I heard this story. I'm not a huge sports fan, but I knew some of you guys would not listen to me at all today unless I threw in a sport. So I'm going to talk about sports, guys. It was two teams. One I've heard of. Another, I think only the people in the back have heard of. It was the Wisconsin Badgers. Yay, Wisconsin. There's some Wisconsin in the house. And they were playing, and they were losing horribly. And it seemed as though every single time they made a bad play, the crowd would actually cheer. And it became really annoying to the team. because they did not understand. They were frustrated, like, why every time we make a bad play do the fans, you know, stand up and roar? Well, come to find out, at the exact same time, the Milwaukee Brewers, those I know, they were playing at the same time as the Badgers. And a large section of the crowd was listening to that game in their earbuds. And the Brewers were winning. So what was actually happening was the crowd was actually cheering for the Brewers during the Badger game. So they were looking at defeat, but they were listening to victory. And that's what God wants for you and me. To respond to what we hear, not what we see. Because we have a limited perspective, and he wants to elevate that for you. He has a bigger perspective, so listen to what you hear and not what you see. Respond to that. In Psalm 121, it says, I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and mountains. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian won't fall asleep. Not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian, right at your side to protect you. God guards you from every evil. He regards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. That is the perspective that God wants you to have, no matter what you see. Hear that. These are all the reasons why that God wants us to dial in prayer. So, this is why he wants us to have a conversation, because this is what he's got for us. But how? What does it look like? How do we actually listen to the whisper of God? There is a man, a prophet, actually. His name was Elijah, and it was in the Old Testament. And he was actually charged with a very direct and bold challenge. And Elijah was charged to defend the worship of God over any other gods or any other idols. And so back in the day, there was lots of gods and lots of idols. I would say currently, we got the same thing going on. It just takes on a little bit of a different form. But Elijah was charged to defend. And he had been working his heart out and his guts out, defending God as the people were abandoning and destroying places of worship. They were literally destroying places of worship, and they were murdering the other prophets. And he was it. He was the only one left. And now they're after him, and they're trying to kill him. So clearly, he's a little discouraged. And he's like, really? This is what I'm doing, and this is now where I'm at? But God speaks. Have you ever been a little discouraged? Really? Really, God? Whoa. But God speaks, and this is what he told him. This is what he says. He says, then he was told, go stand on the mountain at attention before God. God will pass by. A hurricane wind ripped through the mountains and shattered the rocks before God, but God wasn't to be found in the wind. Then after the wind, an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And after that, after the earthquake, fire, but God wasn't in the fire. And then after the fire, a gentle and quiet whisper. There is a lot of big, loud noises in our culture today. There's a lot of things that are fighting for your ears. They are screaming for your attention. And sometimes you gotta pull yourself out of the fire, out of the earthquake, out of the wind, so that you can hear the whisper of God. I recently made a decision to do this for myself. It was actually on day 5 of the Dialed In prayer journey. It's not really, I kind of want to call it a challenge, but it's not really a challenge. It's just sort of a prayer journey, a focus to have a conversation with God in a 21-day period. And so it was day 5, and I had read the devotion, which the devotions are on the Facebook page if you want to find those. And it was that day, there was talk of fasting. And I was like, oh boy, okay, great. Now he's going to speak to me about something I got to give up. I don't feel like giving anything up. I've given it all up. Not really. But that's kind of how I felt. And so, sure enough, he said, no more scrolling. I really love social media. I have a blast. I'm social. It's media. It's a perfect combination for me. I like it. I have access to it at all times. I can talk to you everywhere. And so, I happen to really like it. And God said, no more scrolling, no more numbing, no more numbing there when you don't feel like dealing or when things are hard, no more escaping when what you got going on seems a little impossible and you're not sure how to deal, no more escaping there, no more. Pray instead. Instead of scrolling, pray instead. Give it up. Stop. For some of you, that's like, wow, that's no big deal. That's a challenge for me, if I'm going to be completely honest. It's a challenge. Of course, I still post, because God forbid I not share all the fun details of my life with you. And I know you all really care about what's going on in my life on your lunch break, but no more scrolling. No more scrolling. Stop listening to all of those other voices and pray instead so you can actually hear the voice of God. I'm going to pray instead. And that is listening to the whisper of God. So how does this whisper sound? Well, the first thing is God whispers reassurance. He whispers sometimes it's described as like a still small voice, but it's always reassuring. In Isaiah 55, it says, pay attention, come close now, listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. I'm making a lasting covenant commitment with you, the same that I made with David, sure, solid, enduring love. Do you ever doubt yourself? Do you ever behave in ways that you wish you did not? Do you get stuck in habits, in these loops that you desperately wish you could break? Do you ever simply, like, not believe? You don't believe in your dreams, in your abilities, in yourself to make things happen? As a parent, do you doubt your abilities as a spouse, as a student, as an employee, as a business owner? As a friend, those negative, life-sucking, devastating thoughts and words, do they ever fill your heart and head? My youngest daughter is a lot like me. She is remarkable. I'm just kidding. But seriously, she is a good-hearted girl with tremendous passion. And that passion can turn into a fire and a little bit of sass on occasion. And when those moments rise up, it's often that I will say, Piper, that is not who you are. Piper, you are kind, you are precious, you're smart, and you are a very spunky girl who God loves and has big plans for. All that energy, Piper, it's going to change the world someday. That's who you are. Life-giving, life-nourishing, and some of you need to hear those same words from him today. That's how God speaks. So if you hear anything from God, it's going to sound like this. You are my child. I know you blew it. I know you're stuck. But you're my kid, and you're not kicked out. You belong here. You haven't gone too far. You haven't done too much. You're my kid. And I love you. I love you. Those are God's words. I love you. You may not love yourself. We'll figure that out together. But I love you, and I'm proud of you. Oh, right? Because we tell ourselves all that other stuff because we're just not proud. Maybe nobody's ever said, I'm proud of you. Maybe you don't feel like there's much to be proud of, but that's what God says. He whispers reassurance that says, no, I'm proud of who you are, just the way you are. You're enough. Enough. And I'm proud of you. Sometimes he whispers warnings, and that's number two. In Isaiah Chapter 30, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now, this is what I call the gut check kind of whisper from God. It's that gentle nudge that you're like, whoa, right? Have you ever felt it? As a Christ follower, that's the Spirit that lives in us, giving us kind of a warning. The Word of God says that when we accept Christ and when we invite Him into our life, that that same Spirit that raised God from, or raised Christ from the grave, it now lives in us. And so we have that Spirit that gives us these warnings. It's the times that you think that this is a good idea, but then, whoa, maybe it's not. Maybe we need to rethink that. You want to go? You're like, yeah, let's just, I'm going to go do that. I'm going to take that job. Let's go. And then you're like, oh, whoa, maybe I shouldn't. You want to say that? You really want to say that. But whoa, maybe not. Maybe I need to hold my words. A few months ago, over the summer, Marcus traveled quite a bit, my husband, and we have 4 kids, and we have 3 girls and 1 boy, and while he was gone, my son, who is 10, took on the role of being man of the house. He pretty much, and he is a precious boy, and he is like, Mom, well, Dad's gone. I'm going to kind of help hold down the fort. I'll take care of the sisters with you. I'm like, okay, sounds good, buddy. And so during those days, when my son held down the fort, part of that for him was every night after I put him to bed in his own bed, he would secretly come and upstairs and crawl into bed with me. And the reason that this is kind of a big deal is because when my kids were little, I personally just ran a really tight ship. Nobody slept in our bed because I needed sleep. And so at one point, I had 4 kids ages 5 and under. And so those kiddos were dangling on me all day long. I didn't need a single one of them touching me while I'm sleeping. It was like, no. And so that's just not the route that I went. That's what worked for us. That's it. And so, but in those days that Marcus was gone over the summer, I went ahead and I just let Brody come in and sneak into bed because I realized that time goes by quickly, and the truth is I can sleep when I'm dead, so there's that, and we'll be fine. But one of those mornings, I woke up before he did, and he was, like, laying on my shoulder, and it was, if you're a mom, you know. It was like, oh, this is so precious, and he's 10, so it's something even more precious because he's kind of getting ready to maybe not want to do that anymore. And so I like reached over and unplugged my phone and I just took a quick pic of it. And then when I saw the picture, I'm like, oh, this is precious. Everyone's going to want to see this. Of course, I'm going to post it. And so sure enough, I posted it and basically just said something along the lines of, isn't this so precious? I didn't let the kids do this when they were little, but look at me now and look at him now and time flies and this is so beautiful and wonderful. Yay me, yay him, yay us, whatever. Well, as the internet goes, people get really bold behind those big bad screens of theirs. And I was notified. I had a notification. Somebody's commenting. And one lady decided to post that I was a self-righteous, judgmental woman. And in all of my bravado of how to parent, I was pouring shame on many moms who were doing their best just to survive. My immediate response was, what? Don't you see? It's just a precious picture. That's not what I'm saying at all. And I was crushed by being misunderstood, which then led to me being really mad that you have the nerve to say that, and I quickly then began to pull my thumbs out, and I'm going to tell you a thing or two. How many characters do I get in this reply? And I wanted to say, of course my defense, of course my perspective, and of course my incredibly fond opinion of her now, right? When something prompted me. Whoa. Don't. Let it go. She doesn't mean it. It's not about you. Just unfollow. I'm just kidding. No, really, unfollow. And so I did. But don't do it. Those are warnings. That's how God speaks. And some of you need to hear that this morning from God. Don't do it. Don't compromise. Don't cheat on your taxes. Don't engage in that conversation like that with her at the office. Don't do it. Don't take that job. Don't go there. Don't make that move. Don't. Some of you need to hear, end the secret. I know a lot of you are living with a lot of secrets. And that's one of the reasons that we so encourage groups around here, because you can, you know, we say that nobody's perfect and we say that you belong here, and sometimes that's what you hear. Oh, you're just saying that, right? And we mean it, but you still sometimes can walk into this place and feel like, but I better still hold it all together. And that's why groups are so great, because groups, in the groups is where you can not wear the mask. You can take off the mask and you can hear the two most powerful words, I think, in the English language is me too. Me too. And so we are actually launching groups. They're coming up and we're going to talk more about that, how you can, but get in a group so you can take off the mask and in the secret. And some of you just need to hear, get help. It's okay. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not know what's next. It's okay to not have it all figured out. So go and find someone who might. And go get some help. Go to the doctor. See a counselor. Go get help. It's okay. It's encouraged here. We all sometimes need a little extra help. And so God is whispering that to you. And next, he whispers direction. If you want to know what to do, it would seem that you would ask someone who knows all, right? I mean, if you need answers, why wouldn't you ask someone who knows all? But oftentimes we don't include God, who does know all, in the major decisions of our life, or even in the minor decisions of our life. It's so important to begin including God in the decisions about your marriage, your schooling, your job, your parenting, even your purchases. And I know that seems crazy. It's like, well, if I got the money, then I should buy it, right? And if I don't got the money, but I want it, I should buy it, right? Right? That's how those are the voices. And so this is something that Marcus and I do. We actually invite God into every purchase decision. And sometimes we have to let the emotion pass, and then we pray. And in 2 weeks, it's Marcus's birthday. And I thought it would be so much fun to take him to his home city of San Francisco. We don't get up there often. He misses it. He loves it. And so I thought, oh, well, that'll be so much fun for his birthday. I'm going to surprise him with a quick overnighter. I was going to Uber us to the airport Sunday after church. And then overnight, he has Monday off, so we would spend Monday in the city, come home, all good. It was like this brilliant idea. I was going to win major wife points. We were going to have a blast. It's like a gift for me, too. I mean, who doesn't want a night in the city? So I had a friend of mine start, because I wanted to surprise him, so I had this friend start looking into, you know, hotels and airfare, and we thought, oh, it's going to be totally affordable. It's just a quick flight on Southwest. So all of the details, I had a friend start looking all of these things up. And what started out as a thought of what would be a really affordable and fun getaway was turning into $1,000 night for $4,000. Literally, it started adding up. And this 24 hours was going to cost me about $1,000 with hotel, airfare, and a dinner. And I was like, but I really want to do this. And I had to let the emotion pass and ask God, should I do this? I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, my husband would love it. I could make it happen, but should I? And I let the surprise spoil, and I shared it with him, and he agreed. This was not a purchase. That was a good plan. And it's the thought that counts anyways. And now you all know that I was thinking, so hey, yay, happy birthday. But I included God in the decision, and he spoke. And my encouragement is that many of you have really big decisions, big purchases, big relationship issues, big job changes, big decisions. And I want to let you know that if you invite Jesus into the process, he will lead you no matter how big or how small a birthday present how small he will lead you, and he will give you the direction and the warning. The next thing that he does is he whispers. I just got a little lost here for a second. Acts 20. Here we go. Sorry, back there. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. The Spirit will speak to you, big or small. He'll speak, and then you'll be compelled. And you may not know all that's in store and all that's next, or you may never even know why or why not, but he will speak. And so here's a few things that God might be saying as it relates to direction in your life. He might be saying, slow down. That's what he said to me about my little San Francisco plan. Whoa, slow down. Slow down. For some of you, he might be saying, do it now. Enough thinking already. Go, do it. You've been saying it. You've been like wanting it. You've been, do it. Go for it. Take some action. I know we talk about the growth track, which is this whole know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. And it happens during this service around the corner. And some of you are like, all right already, I get it, the growth track. And that's because some of you have to hear God a little, like now, go do it. It's so good. It'll rock your world. I've been through it. Trust me. Go do it. Some of you need to hear, just take the next step. You don't have to do this huge leap. Spirit's compelling you. You may not know all, but just take that next step. The last thing is he whispers vision. Did you know God has a great dream for your life? He really, really does. It's not in your notes, but I want to read a passage in Jeremiah 29 to you. It says, know what I am doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. God has something planned out for you. And there are plans that are going to take care of you. And not only that, there are plans that are going to give you an incredible future. He has a vision and a dream for you. He really does. And in my small group right now, we're learning that part of that vision is that God wants us all to make a difference. He has a dream that's not just about us. It's going to be fun and fulfilling and life-giving for us, but it's a dream that will impact the world or impact our world. And I wanted to read to you the first page of this book, and it was called The Manifesto. And God spoke in my circle on Thursday morning through this. And so I thought, well, if he's spoken to us, it must be something he's got for everybody else. So I'm going to let you into my group for a second and read to you. It says this, quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Run to the roar. Set God-sized goals. Pursue God-given passions. Go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. Stop pointing out problems and become part of the solution. Stop repeating the past and start creating the future. Face your fears. Fight for your dreams. Grab opportunity by the mane and don't let go. Live like today is the first day and the last day of your life. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Don't let fear dictate your decisions. Burn sinful bridges. Blaze new trails. Live for the applause of nail-scarred hands. Don't try to be who you're not. Be yourself. Laugh at yourself. Dare to dream God-sized dreams. Dare to be different. Quit holding out. Quit holding back. And quit running away. Chase after God. He wants to whisper vision. Vision. Dreams. Plan. Don't hold back. Don't be a statistic. Be a solution. And some of you need to hear his whisper of vision in your life, and it's saying, go all in. What do you got to lose? Go all in. Do it. Go for it. Some of you need to hear, just give your best. I'm not done with you. It's not over. There is so much more. You're here, so there's more. Give your best. Serve. Give. Participate. Come. I know I'm talking to the wrong group of people because you're here, but don't stop coming. Because it's sometimes in this hour, once a week, that where God is here in his house with his people, that he speaks through his word, and we get to hear stuff like that that says, no, I got something for you. I got it. I got you. I know you feel like you're going to fail, but go all in, because I have a vision for you and your family. I got a dream for your career. I got a plan for your kiddo. I got life. I'm the giver of all life. And that's what I want to give you. So how can I respond to God's whisper? How do I respond? Okay, these are the things. I know why. He wants to be my friend and all of these awesome things. And this is how he speaks. Now how do I respond to that? And it's a posture. It's actually an attitude. And it's this. It's just this. It's palms up. And it says, Lord, I'm open to listening. But you gotta do that. He's not gonna force himself to you. He has all of these things, these great gifts. Lord, I'm opening. I'm open to listening. 1 Samuel 3:9 says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. This Christmas Eve, we were at my brother's house, and there's cousins and festivities, and we were all having a really great time, as we always do. My brother's name is Jeremy, but we call him the Funkle, because he's an uncle, just a lot cooler. He's a lot of fun, and so he had games and an extravaganza for everybody planned, and it was a lot of fun, and we were hip deep in festivities when I received a text from a childhood friend. She was a childhood best friend, and it simply said, my son has been in an accident. He was hit by a car on his bike, and then another car ran over him. I can't live without him. Please pray. I know God listens to you. And as you can imagine, my heart sank, and I actually had to leave the room because my immediate thought was, he is going to die. He's going to die. And Marcus, my husband, came into the room, and all I could say to him was, I gotta go. Yeah, I know it's Christmas Eve, and I know the kids are, I gotta go. And I pulled myself together, and as soon as we could, I headed over to the trauma unit at Children's Hospital. And on the drive over there, I was saying, speak, Lord, I'm listening. And my mind, though, began to race, and I thought, maybe I should have called first. Maybe I need to text her back and ask if it's okay. I haven't seen her in quite a while. She didn't invite me to come. She just asked me to pray. But my spirit kept screaming, go. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about her, and it's about her boy. So go. And I arrived way past visiting hours at the guest check-in in my Christmas pajamas, which was nice. And I said to the volunteer at the front desk, I said, I know that it's late and it's past hours, and I recognize that I am in my Christmas pajamas, but I need you to let me in, because believe it or not, I am her pastor. And that was the clergy card my husband told me to pull if they weren't going to let me in. But when I got to the floor, because they let me in, where her and her son were in the ICU, she was shocked to see me. We haven't seen each other in a while. And she's like, you came. And we didn't talk long. I wasn't even allowed to go back and see him. She was alone. But it didn't matter. I heard God, and I went. And I'm here to tell you that that boy made a full recovery and was released with no injuries 4 days later. He was crossing the 67 freeway, by the way. So I don't know. I don't know if my friend gave her life to God in those moments or in those 4 days or as a result of my visit. I don't know. I don't know if our prayer is what healed his body, but I do know that God showed up. I do know that. And I do know that I left there feeling like I had made a difference in a person's life. And I was genuinely ready to go and visit every single room in that hospital on Christmas Eve. I was like, I'm all in. Who else needs a visit tonight? I'm all in. And so that's what's next. It's to, after we take the posture of I'm open, it's then, Lord, I'm eager to respond because I want to make a difference. Because I trust you. Because you're my friend. Because you have a future. Because there's more. I'm eager to respond. John 10, 27, it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. That's the follow. Eager to respond. That's the follow. And we have the privilege of following the great shepherd who knows all, who created all, who believes all, and who has a dream and a passion for you bigger than you even think. But you must be eager to respond. So will you? Will you take your next step of action? Remember, we learned this last week. It's not that God has a speaking problem. It's so often us who have a listening problem. So when we're hearing this morning, I know we're sitting in here, it's all cozy, and it's like, okay, yes, Lord. But when you leave, and when the noise turns up again, or when the doubt occurs, when the self-talk isn't what it needs to be, when the accusations and the misunderstandings and the doubts and all of that starts to be real loud again, will you remember to not look at the defeat, but listen to the victory and respond and be eager to go, okay, yes, Lord, yes, I will. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for your words, God, that bring life, that nourish our soul, that speak hope and breathe just freshness. God, for those that are sitting in here in this room right now that have felt just like, stuck and stale and washed, rinse and repeat and defeated, I pray you would speak fresh hope and vision, a dream. More, there's more. They don't see it, but that's because you got the perspective and that they would look up and receive that so they can go make the difference that they were born to do, born to be. And God, for those who are just like struggling in relationship, just like barely making it, speak, Lord. Speak your reassurance. Give direction. It's time to turn left. Do something different. That's okay. You're not a failure. It's just time to do something different. Trust him. Trust me, he says. And I just pray for those who maybe are far from God right now. And they're like, man, it's been a while since I even sat in a chair like this. Or maybe you're just been a little closed off. Pray you would open your heart to receive his grace and his forgiveness. And accept that you are a child of God. That's who you are. That's who you are. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity? Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.